on baptism. What is baptism? What is water baptism? There are different baptisms, and before we get to that message, we'd like to do we're reading a congregational reading, so we're going to be in the book of Romans for that, Romans chapter 6. We're going to read the first 7 verses of Romans 6, and I will read odd number verses, and then together with me, you will read the even number verses. So, and this passage, within this passage is a great description of what baptism for the believer represents. So, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been set free from sin. Amen. I mean, is that a reason to look forward to death? I think so. Not suicidal or nothing. I'm not promoting that. But I remember seeing, you can probably find it online. It's a little, I think it's a YouTube, but literally it's like 40 some seconds long, and it's, here I go with names again. It's I'm serious. I can't. It's one of these known. She's older now, but newscasters, and she's interviewing Billy Graham, and it just starts out with her. It's just a short clip. It just starts out with her saying, "I understand that you're looking forward to death," and she just kind of like, because the world doesn't. Who would look for? I mean, don't get me wrong. If I told you I know you're going to die today, I'm sure that wouldn't bless you. There's both sides because we still are human. But he just said, yeah, I look forward to, I've got these urges and whatnot that aren't godly, and I look forward to being set free from these. And so, and you think about that, and given the analogy, that verse I just read, Romans 6:7, for he who has died has been freed from sin, you know, and they, I'm thankful I won't need glasses, hearing aids, partial dentures, but I'm glad I won't be sinning anymore. Anyone tired of sinning, don't shout out, you know. So, okay. But within these passages we read, I'll just read verses 3 and 4 as a real crux, if you will. Verse 3, or do you not know that as many of us who, as we're baptized into Christ, into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. We represent, and here's the thing, baptism here, today we know for sure that, so you both do know, I think you do, and the rest of you know, I don't know, they've already been baptized. Right? You understand that, right? A very key verse for that is Romans chapter 12, verse 13, which says, by one spirit, we've all been baptized into the body of Christ. So the main idea, I got this worksheet with a bajillion things to fill out. We're not going to take that long. We're just going to kind of read through it. But the main point is this, a believer's baptism, what's going to go on today is a picture of what's already happened to you. You understand that? When you said yes to Jesus, you were, as Paul would say, I've been crucified with Christ. What happened 2,000 years ago, because as a believer, you are now in Christ. And before time, before you even created, when he died on that cross, you died with him. And you were buried with him and all your sins as well. And then when he rose, you rose. And that's the truth for any believer. And that's what the water represents. You go under the water, that's the death and the burial, right? You come up out of the water, that's the the resurrection. That's your resurrection. That's going to happen to each of us that has trusted in Jesus, who belong to Jesus. So baptism, we don't have time for all this. There's lots of things that come up, but some people would say that you must be baptized in water to be saved. That's not true. There's too many verses that talk about you just have to believe. There are a handful of verses that make you, but there's an explanation for all of those. It's clear. And one that would just poo-poo the whole idea that you have to be baptized in water to be saved is Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, right? For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, lest anyone should boast. So if I have to be baptized to be in water to be saved, that's a work. It's just simply trusting Jesus. So, let's slow down and let's go through our sheet here and we'll be done. And the goal is to be done by quarter after, so we can eat and have some, enjoy ourselves here, and then get out to Don Williams to have our baptism. So what is water baptism? Number one, the English word baptism comes from the Greek word baptizo. Baptizo. I have an extra sheet, I think. And baptizo, it's two words, but basically this word means on your sheet to dip or to dye. That's D-Y-E, not to croak, but to dye, to dip something and dye. In ancient times, it says on your sheet there, in ancient times, people used to dye garments by dipping them into various colors in order to identify them as their own. Therefore, baptism has the idea of identifying with the one who baptizes. That's one of the main meaning of baptism is identification. So for instance, you have a white t-shirt, right? You decide, I got this new thing I bought, this dipping thing. I don't even know the right word to use.
Tie-dye.
Yeah, like tie-dye, right? Thank you. Yeah. Sure, right. And so you dip it in this red dye, and now the shirt's red. So a week later, if you can't find it, you don't say, honey, have you seen my white shirt? Because it's no longer identified as a white shirt. You'd say, honey, have you seen my red shirt? Yeah, it's over there where you left it. So that's the idea. So when someone, and baptism precedes Christianity. The Jews did it, and even pagans did it. It was a way, it was like a ritual for some, or a way for purification, but it also had to do with identifying with the person who's baptizing you. So that is the idea. And number two on your sheet, John the Baptist baptized people for repentance. So they're not coming to the water today to repent. I mean, we all need to repent daily. For a Christian, for us, repenting is putting off and putting on. Paul talks about that. I've mentioned that before, but that we are already saved. We just repent to get on the right track. But back to number two, John the Baptist baptized people for repentance. To repent means to change your mind. That's the word, change your mind. We describe it as making a U-turn, right? Making a U-turn. You go in one direction, you realize this isn't the right way. You find a way to turn around, go back the right way. This next part, we did a whole half a message on this a few weeks ago. We turn to Jesus. This is what our repentance is. Turning to Jesus, and we turn from our sin. Jesus helps us not to sin, and he forgives us when we sin, right? We have there 1 John 1:9. As a Christian, if we confess our sins, it says he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's 1 John 1:9. 1 John 1:7 says something about the blood of Christ cleanses us from sin, from all sin. And the Greek there, you could rightfully say the blood for a believer, the blood of Christ continually cleanses us. Because we're saved in one sense, all of our sins are washed away, right? When you come to Jesus, it's all washed away. But again, we want to be, we want to keep short accounts with the Lord. So if I'm blowing it a certain way and I realize it, I want to repent, turn back to him. I'm sorry, Lord, forgive me. And I love you. It's washed away, right? I like to put it this way. Repentant, you know, and again, I'm all for good, heavy duty Baptist preacher evangelism. I'm for all that, you know, repent. You know, I got saved through that. I got saved through watching a TV flipping channels back when all you could do is flip channels in 1978. And this guy came on preaching hellfire. He was only just quoting Jesus, but that changed my whole life. But to me, I like to put it this way. Repentance doesn't mean it does. It doesn't. Repentance doesn't so much mean get your act together. It means come to me, Jesus, come to me. You know, whether you're not a believer or you are, come to Jesus. And we had a whole message on that. There's a passage that talks about repentance toward God. Repent, which just means to turn to God and ask him to help you. I emphasize that so much and spend the time on it because I know for myself and others who I've talked to, you get the mindset, well, especially for an unbeliever, I can't come to God yet because I haven't broken this bad habit. And that's got the cart ahead of the horse, if you know what I mean. So that's, we got through number two. Now number three, when Jesus came to be baptized by John, John tried to stop Jesus and said, I need to be baptized by you and you're coming to me? That's Matthew 3:15. Again, John's baptism was repent, like he was preparing the way for the Messiah. Turn from your sins, clean up your act, repent. And here's Jesus, who's his cousin or his relative, right? And he and God has kind of revealed, well, he's going to be at the baptism for sure. John has an idea that this guy is, he doesn't need to repent, and he wants me to baptize him. That's why he's saying, you're coming to me, and I don't have it on your sheet. But Jesus says, allow this to be, because this allows us to fulfill all righteousness. And as we read the rest of our number three here, hopefully that'll explain what that means. So he was baptized. He took the baptism of repentance. Jesus was baptized by John to identify, that's the word again, identify with sinful man. Though Jesus never sinned, he came in the likeness of sinful flesh so he could die on the cross for us. Romans 8:3 talks about how he came in the likeness of sinful flesh. He's God of God. He's, you know, he's eternal God, a spirit just like the Father and the Holy Spirit are. And he agrees to take on a body, flesh and blood. And as you know, he could get tired. He would cry when he was hurt, when feelings hurt or for other people. He bled, of course. He was thirsty. And ultimately, he was able to die. And this perfect Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, died on the cross to take on our sin. So we're finishing this out. After it says Romans 8:3, I'm sorry. It says, for he, this is quoting another verse, for he, the Father, made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us. And I added on the cross, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. That's 2 Corinthians 5:21. That is, think about that. I call that the deal of the century. He's going to take on all my sin and guilt and condemnation, and he's going to give me all his righteousness. And that's the gospel, the good news, which, by the way, I wanted to even add that, you know, how are we saved? Just by simply realizing we need salvation. I'm sinful. I'm headed for hell. No one deserves to go to heaven. I like to make this point too. Please understand, this is not a true statement. Good people go to heaven and bad people go to hell. That's not accurate. It's really humble people go to heaven and proud people go to hell. And again, I know you probably met Christians, even me, that don't come off so humble. But the idea is humble enough to realize I need a savior. I need a savior. Where a person, the nicest person, the most magnanimous person that you know that's not a believer, there's something wrong with their heart. They're too prideful to realize that they need a savior. So it's just very important that John's baptism was to repent. Jesus did that baptism so he could connect and identify with sinful man. But then we're going to get to the believer's baptism, number four. Today, you, and I can say this to, you know, but anyone else, by the way, if you want to be born again, if you don't know the Lord, and that just, when you trust him, you get, he comes to inside you by the Holy Spirit to stay there, and you have new life. You, today, you are identifying with Jesus through your water baptism, declaring outwardly and publicly, is the word there, publicly, what has already happened to you when you first trusted Jesus Christ to be your Savior and Lord. Your water baptism is a symbol of what God has done for you through Jesus dying on the cross. Does that make sense? And again, I keep wanting to, about as far as the gospel, it says in Romans, Paul says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And again, that doesn't mean, okay, I forgot, I've never done that. Lord, you know, whatever. I mean, you can do that, but it's a heart thing, right? There's no special words to it. I like to think the simplicity, a picture of that from the scripture is where Jesus is coming, walking on the water, they're all freaked out. And what is Peter? You know, he's got his ups and downs, literally here. He says, if it's really you, call me and I'll walk on the water. So Peter is walking on the water, miraculously. And then he looks at how strong the wind's getting. He gets scared and he starts to sink. And this is how he got saved. Lord, save me. And so he just called on the Lord and the Lord saved him. I mean, from drowning. That's a picture of, so however that happens for you or happened for you, you've called on him and you're saved. And baptism is important, an important step, because we're told, you know, Peter says in the book of Acts, Pentecost, the Holy Spirit comes upon and he starts preaching, right? Well, first they're speaking in tongues and all the people there are hearing the wonderful works of God and mysteries of God in their own language. Like, what's going on here? So Peter is preaching and when he's done preaching, it says the people were cut to the heart. So what should we do? And he says, let every one of you be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. That's one of those verses that can throw you off. But the word for there could easily be translated, be baptized because of the forgiveness of sins. But it is something that the Lord wants us to do. And that's why we're thrilled that these two want to do that. And it's a celebration, but it's also, what's interesting, because we live in America, right? So far, it's safe to gather like this and speak freely about the gospel, but besides the potential of getting killed is going on all over the world for just being Christian. I've heard stories of different, probably Muslim countries where someone, you know, when they go and get baptized, they go and they're in a public, you know, place and they get dipped and they're baptized and then they go, they can never go home again. Amen. Yeah. The family has disowned them. So there's a cost. And that's why Jesus says, if you want to come after me, deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. So that's a really hard call. It's an impossible call. That's the call to follow Jesus. But again, what makes it doable is that he does the work through us. He's gracious and merciful. He died on the cross for us. You want to go to heaven? You want to follow Jesus? Just can call on him. Ask him to give you the courage to speak up. So who knows? I mean, I don't know. Does anyone know? Is it 2 years ago, 3 years ago when we did the baptism? I don't know. But we went to Don Williams a few years ago, baptized four people. There were a lot of people there. And so it's a chance to publicly, you know, declare that you belong to Jesus. So I'm jumping ahead of myself here. So we're getting there. So we're at number five here. When you first trusted, and again, this applies to, this isn't just obviously for the people that are getting baptized in water today. This is for all of us. This is for us to learn and understand the Bible and God's heart in this. Okay. So number five, when you first trusted Jesus Christ, you were washed by the Holy Spirit. That's Titus 3:5. Look it up yourself. The washing and regeneration of the Holy Spirit. You're washed by the Holy Spirit. Sealed is the next word. Sealed with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 1:13, I love that verse. And baptized into the body of Christ, here it is, by the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:13, I quoted that earlier. That's not the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Who's doing the baptizing here? Jesus. Sorry, the Holy Spirit, he baptizes us into the body of Christ. Jesus, John the Baptist says, I baptize you with water. He who comes after me is greater than me, and he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. So Jesus does that baptizing. But that, again, that's another one of those things we don't have time to get into in today's message. But again, you were washed by the Holy Spirit, sealed with the Holy Spirit, and baptized into the body of Christ by the Holy Spirit. When you first trusted Christ, Jesus Christ, here it is, you died with him, Galatians 2:20, and were raised with him, Colossians 2:13. And Galatians 2:20 really sums it up. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, and that verse goes on to say, but Christ who lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And just throw in verse 21 because it's a wonderful, marvelous grace verse. Galatians 2:21 says, I do not set aside or frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, then Christ died for nothing. So, wonderful grace. And we're already to number six. Number six. So today, or any time when this happens for you, as you go down into the water, this represents and declares that the old you, no matter how old you are, the old you, a descendant of sinful Adam, that's your word there, our first father, if you will, Adam, has died with Jesus under the water. You and all your sins, the word is all there. Again, we're representing what's already happened, but under the water, you and all your sins, past, present, and future, are buried with Jesus. So died with Jesus, buried with Jesus. As you come up from the water, this represents the new you, no longer in Adam. Your new identity is in Christ, a new creation. You are telling the world, I belong to Jesus, because that's the other part of it. It's identification and ownership. So we belong to the Lord. We're his. And it's a wonderful thing, I can tell you, because like I said, I got saved as a teenager, and my walk was pretty inconsistent for a while. And he never gives up. He never gives up. He just patiently woos you, forgives you, and draws you back to him. So very excited about all this and about what we're going to be doing